Morning, church. I've been missing being together with you. I'm glad we can be together and to study God's Word at this time. I hope that you brought a Bible. And I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Over the past few weeks, Brother Edwin and Brother Jackson and myself, we've been endeavoring to bring the Word of God with its timeless truth and relevance into your homes, into your hearts, into your lives, in a very difficult time for our church family as well as our country. And so we have been teaching on God's amazing grace, and we've been talking about perspective and keeping a proper perspective about the reality of death in a sinful world and how God's shepherding and God's gospel is the way that leads to eternal life. We've had lessons about trusting God and faith to overcome fear. And I'm wanting to build on that foundation this morning with some teaching about attitude and direction that is framed from a question we find in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we find the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? I've been thinking a lot about that question lately. Lord, to whom shall we go? And I know that it is always an important question to ask spiritually, but I think especially right now. And so as you're finding John 6 in your own Bible, I want to begin by setting up the question just a little bit. We find it in verse 66, but on the way there in John chapter 6, we learn and see about the great fickleness of the crowds, the great fickleness of the multitudes. You see, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is feeding the 5,000 with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. Everyone gets their fill, and there's 12 baskets left over. It's an incredible demonstration of power and a miracle that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, and that He is the Son of God. And yet you keep reading in that chapter, just a few verses, you will find that on the very next day, on the very next day, Jesus chooses to preach a sermon about He is the bread of life. He is the bread come down from heaven. And you will find that the multitudes did not appreciate that teaching at all. In fact, Jesus addresses the fact as He challenges their interest in Him. He challenges their attitudes and their priorities. He says, you're seeking meals. You're seeking easy food in a moment. And that's all wrong. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the God the Father has set His seal on Him. You're looking for all the wrong food. He says, you're like an Esau. You're willing to sell a birthright for a bowl of lentils. But Jesus wouldn't have it. He taught them about their need for spiritual bread. It is His word. It is God's word. And they found His teaching too difficult. It wasn't the answer they were wanting to hear. And multitudes left Him because of it. That takes us to John 6. I hope you found that in your Bible now, in verse number 66. In your own Bible, John 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter understood 3 things on that day that we do well to remember. First, Peter understood, you choose who you serve. You choose who you follow. And you choose that for yourself, regardless of what the crowds do or what the multitudes choose. You choose for yourself who you follow. Peter understood, secondly, that only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Only Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. And Peter understood, third, that this is because Jesus is the Holy One of God. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when you realize that's who Jesus is, He's the Holy One of God. And that's where Jesus leads. He leads to eternal life. Where else would you go? Who else would you follow? Lord, to whom shall we go? Think on that question for a moment with me this morning. In fact, it's where I want to begin. Number one in your notes, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? This is a difficult time that we live in currently. We are witnessing and experiencing this virus, this disease, this COVID-19 pandemic. To whom shall we go? About 3 months ago, at least, our country began being plagued with this. And it struck other countries before our own. And we saw the pictures and we heard the numbers and it affects us. My heart breaks for the families who have lost loved ones to this sickness. And the sickness itself, it sounds so dreadful. And so there's been fear about catching that sickness. There's been fear about spreading that to others. And so what have we done? Well, we've stayed in. But then that's created other hardships and other heartbreaks for so many. Like lost jobs or ruined businesses. This quarantine homeschooling situation. And that had effects too. There's young people who missed their graduations from college, from high school, from kindergarten. I mean, they missed them. You had other difficulties as well because there's people who missed weddings of their children, missed funerals of their loved ones. That all hurts. And it's so complicated. It's very complicated. And the doctors are saying different things. Government health agencies, they've contradicted themselves, let alone what other doctors or people are saying. And you know what I'm talking about. There's been just different kind of statements made about the efficacy of masks. There's been contradictory statements made about what's on surfaces and what's not on surfaces. And here's what I trust. I trust that people are telling us the best they know at the time. And of course, those things change when you get new data or new experiments. I understand all that. But to whom shall we go? To the science, to the experts? Well, they don't agree. And in regard to this complex situation, it is fearful, it is frustrating. You have on top of that just some terrible attitudes of anger and rage and offense. And that's only made things worse. There are people who have chosen to take offense at how someone else, how their neighbor is experiencing the pandemic. There are people who choose to be offended and enraged because some people insist on wearing masks and other people do not insist on wearing masks and vice versa. Maybe you've seen the video I saw where there was like one lady in a store and everyone had a mask on except for her. And so everyone grabs around her and begins shouting at her and enraged and screaming at her, forcing her to leave the store. That's not going to help anything to choose to be enraged at how other people experience or practice through the pandemic. There's people who choose to be offended and enraged over vaccines. And we've had some people tell us, well, you got to have a vaccine before you can go back to work or go back to school. You got other people telling us, yeah, vaccine, way to go, man. We'll have one by the fall. We'll have one by next spring. You got other people saying, vaccine, it's a big old list full of diseases there's no vaccine for. What if it's like that? We've had other people telling us, I don't want to have a vaccine. I don't want to wear a vaccine or get a vaccine at all. I object to vaccine on principle. And there's a lot of enraged and angry conversation about all of this. It is complex. Fear and hardship and anger. And I'm asking, to whom shall we go? There has to be another voice. There has to be other words. There has to be direction here. More than science or politicians because, and again, I'm sure we're all doing our best, but it's beyond them. To whom shall we go? And while that has been raging for months, what have we witnessed in the last few weeks coming to a head? We are witnessing, experiencing murder, riots, racism. To whom shall we go? Video emerged of the killing of Mr. Arbery in Georgia, the killing of Mr. Floyd in Minnesota. And of course, those videos have stirred up anger and righteous indignation. Rightly so. They're awful. They're despicable. They are indefensible. How could these men be killed in this way? And so people are speaking out. Enraged rhetoric all over social media. Social media is on fire. You've got in the street some legal protests. But others, violence, destruction, burning government buildings, There has been theft. There has been looting, burning gas stations, and robbing all manner of stores, jewelry and electronics and television, gas stations. You remember what the Bible says? The Bible teaches us anger and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And again, there is anger, which has turned to violence in the streets. And I'm asking, to whom shall we go? This is complex. And I will tell you that politicians and schools and education workers and community organizers have been working on civil rights and mending wounds of racism for almost 60 years. And yet here we are. There is no simple fix. There's no one answer coming from all of that effort. And again, I believe people are trying their best and they're going to work on their best in good faith. But to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? As I reflect on this, I tell you, I want to give the devil his due. I want to give the devil his due because for all of the 24-hour news coverage, I have failed to see the main actor getting any publicity or attention. And this main actor in the Bible is called Satan, the adversary, the accuser, the devil. And the Bible says that he's a roaring lion on the prowl. Jesus said that he's a murderer for his lies. And so when you see murder and you see hate, you see rage and people burning their own houses down on top of themselves, there's a devil who is dancing. And he has enraged brother against brother like Cain against Abel. He has chained us in fear of death so we dare not go on living. He has tempted us to doubt the word of God like he tempted Eve. Has God said? When I consider the heavy trials of my brethren and my neighbors who have lost property, who've lost family members, who've lost personal health for one reason or another, I remember how Satan tempted Job. He tempted Job with all of that hardship and more because he wanted Job to curse God and die. And I'll tell you, nothing will delight the devil more than to see you or someone you care about curse God and die. He leads us to death. But I'm asking, Lord, to whom shall we go? To me, it appears the devil is running this moment like a show, like a three-ring circus. And while I'd call one ring the virus and I'd call another one the hatred of others, I'm going to leave you to fill in the third ring of the devil's show for yourself. And I'll tell you why, because I cannot begin to know this morning what you are struggling with at this moment. But the Bible reveals this figure, the devil, and he is influencing, tempting, deceiving, and working against humanity. He always has. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Satan is portrayed as an archer who lets flaming arrows fly. Think about that, folks, raining fire down. And I wonder what flaming arrows has the devil launched at you lately. Christians are given a shield of faith to quench these fiery arrows that represent persecution or temptation or trial. Where are you this morning? What days are you having? Is it financial hardship? Are you on the brink of ruin? Is it family strife in this season? Domestic abuse? We've all been cooped up together. Is it the isolation, the depression that can come with that? Struggles with mental health? Some turn to alcoholism or substance abuse. Is that you? And then hurricane season started this week. And we live in Florida. And I'm going to pray that we don't get a whopper, but it just kind of feels like 2020 might be the year we get a whopper. And we'll pray not. What kind of days are you having? What flaming arrows have been raining down on you? To whom shall we go? And the answer is Jesus. It's always Jesus. Just as Peter confessed, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what Peter said. And I want to know what Jesus' words are. I'm telling you, there must be a higher power, a wiser voice, one who leads us to life. Because it's times like these, when we see the complexity, we see the difficulty, the deeply rooted issues are not answered simply, are not answered quickly by mere mortals. To whom shall we go? There must be a savior, a deliverer from the devil. The devil leads to hate, to sin, to wicked deeds, ultimately to death. But Jesus has words of eternal life. And so we must turn to him and not turn away. I want to hear him. I want to follow him. I think. At least, I think I do. But you see, in John chapter 6, I can't help but notice how so many people thought they wanted to follow him, but they turned away. And they turned away because they said, your teachings are difficult. That's the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. I begin to see in John chapter 6 that, yes, Jesus does have the words of eternal life. But the words of eternal life are hard teachings. The words of eternal life are difficult sayings. He has the words of eternal life. These are hard things at times to hear. You see, the day that the multitudes left Jesus, they complained. This is a hard saying. This is a difficult saying. And you know, there's just no two ways about it. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Do you want abundant life? It's from Jesus. Hear his word. Heed his word. Heed his teachings. And Jesus never apologized for what he said, and he did not equivocate on his teachings. There are some difficult teachings. We look around us at hard and difficult times, and there's no two ways about that. There's not an easy answer or solution. If there were, that's what we do. Problem's fixed. You know what Jesus offers? He offers true teachings, though difficult. Words of life are not words of ease. I want to share with you four of those things this morning. As I turn and I desire Jesus' words of life, I see where it's difficult. I see where it's difficult to practice the golden rule. As he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I see how that can be difficult. Because we prefer to treat others the way we've been treated. That's what feels fair. And we prefer to do to others before they do to us. But don't you desire to be heard? Don't you desire to be respected? Don't you desire to be helped? Don't you desire someone to think the best of you and give you the benefit of the doubt? That's how we have to treat others. That can be difficult. The greatest commandment, as Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His answer in Mark 12, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Jesus shows us there's a God. He is to be respected and loved with our whole being. I want you to appreciate that. Our Creator God made man in his image. I have never looked on a person who does not bear the image of God. I have never looked on a person who Jesus does not love or did not die for on the cross. And that includes the person I disagree with. And that includes the person that I don't understand. And that includes every politician or public figure that I see on television. My neighbor is the person who needs my mercy. That's how I'm neighbor to someone, when I am merciful. My neighbor needs compassion. My neighbor needs a listening ear. And I think we could all say amen to that. What Sunday school would not say these very things? But I'm going to tell you, it's a hard teaching. It is hard to love your neighbor when they revile you and speak evil against you on social media. It is hard to love when you have a different viewpoint. It's really hard to love when it's theoretical because you actually haven't gotten to know a neighbor. And it's hardest to love when you've never engaged in these difficult conversations. It's hard to love your neighbor when you do not trust them and you think the worst first rather than give them the benefit of the doubt. I tell you, these are hard teachings. There's a third one that comes to mind I think is quite difficult at this time when we are taught to love our enemies, indeed to pray for our enemies. Matthew 5, verse 43, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He says this will make you like your Father who is in heaven. But I'm going to say it's difficult. It's good to pray for the hurting and the sick and the nation. But we need to be praying for perpetrators. And the rude and the hateful,
The ones that we are tempted to write off and dismiss due to their conduct, we are to pray for them. It's a challenging teaching and a hard setting to practice humility as we should. To have the mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Holy Spirit tells us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Esteem others. Look out for the best interest of others. This means life is not all about you. Life is not even all about me. That's a hard teaching. So as I review, we need to treat our neighbor well. We are to love them, pray for them, be humble before them. And do you know what we are not instructed to do? We're actually not instructed to fix them. So you can actually mark that stress off of your list. And we can just focus on these other things. Now before we close, I want to go back to John chapter 6. We have been focusing this morning on these words of Peter. Notice how in John 6, on that day, that many walked away. Why, Peter made his choice. He was ready to stay with Jesus. He was not put off by the difficult teaching of that day. He even made the good confession. Here was the day of testing and decision for a great many of Jesus' followers. And that's the day the majority left, but that's the day Peter stayed. And as we go to number 3 in the notes, I want you to appreciate, sometimes we are like Peter. And other times, we're still like Peter. Sometimes we are like Peter, but sometimes we're still like Peter. Let me unpack that for just a moment with you. As you follow Peter throughout the book of John, the Gospel of John, we find him here in John chapter 6. I'm going to tell you, it's a good day for Peter. On this day, the crowds disown Jesus, but Peter, he makes the good confession. And on a good day, there are times when I do what's right. There are times when I choose to be faithful to the Lord, even if I witness others doing wrong things. I stay with the Lord. Hey, that's a good day. And I will tell you that on a good day, I need to be careful that I am not self-righteous or spiritually arrogant. But I need to remember, there but for the grace of God go I, but this is a good day. I'm standing with the Lord today. Why do I need to be humble even on my good days? Because there's other days we're going to have. Peter had another kind of day. You read about it in the Gospel of John. It's Peter's worst day. The day that when the multitude comes to arrest Jesus, Peter denies him and denies him 3 times. John chapter 18 and verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Before the chapter concludes, we find this in verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again. And immediately a rooster crowed. You see, on this night, it was Peter under fire. He was the one being accused. And on this night, he's trying to keep his head down because his friend is the one being unjustly killed out of pride and out of hatred. And Peter wants no part of it. You find Mary and John at the foot of the cross. Peter is not there. He denied the Lord. Yeah, we find good days with Peter. We find the worst day with Peter. But can I tell you, before this gospel's over, we see Peter's best day, his undeserved best day, on that dark night of betrayal and denial, his best day was yet ahead of him. Yes, Jesus died upon the cross, but he conquered death in the glory of the resurrection. And in John chapter 21, we read of his meeting with Peter. As he asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" 3 times. Did you catch that? 3 times.
Peter confessed his love for him 3 times. The Lord gave him work to tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Can I tell you, Peter loved the Lord? Of course he did. And Peter knew better, but he was frightened that night. He was beside himself that night. It was his worst day. And yet Jesus still loved him. Jesus forgave him. Jesus restored him. Jesus had great plans for Peter. He becomes this leading apostle. He preaches key sermons we read in the book of Acts. He's inspired to write 2 books of the Bible. He took the word of God to the Gentiles. He did great things for the Lord. He was faithful after he was restored, and the Lord used him mightily. We see all 3 kinds of days in Peter's life here in the Gospel of John. And I want to ask you, what days are you having lately? There's many times we read the Bible and say, I identify with Peter. I'm asking you today to think about, okay, on what day are you identifying with Peter? How's it going? Are they good days for you spiritually? Have you been faithful to the Lord even in hard times? Have you been faithful to the Lord even in his hard teachings? Have you been faithful to the Lord toward your neighbors? Have you been faithful to the Lord even when the crowds are walking away from his sayings? Those are the kind of days you're having. Are you having bad days? Even your worst day spiritually. Have you walked away from the Lord in recent days, recent weeks? Have you gone with the crowds far more than the Christ? What kind of days you've been having lately? Because we have an opportunity today to choose Christ. You do choose who you follow. And when we ask, Lord, to whom shall we go? The answer is Jesus Christ. The Christ who brings forgiveness. The Christ who brings eternal life. In John chapter 6 and verse 67, Jesus asked the question, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? The Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to take out your songbooks, turn to the number selected. We're going to sing a song together in just a moment. Brother JT is going to come and lead us in more song worship. I'm sorry, say it again, brother. We're doing songbooks this time, brethren. Let's get out the songbooks and what number? And we don't have songbooks. My prediction is this will be a short song. But we're going to sing from our hearts. What are we going to do? Kingdoms of earth pass away. We'll at least get that first verse out, I know. So as we prepare in our minds to sing the kingdom of earth pass away, you might consider in your heart what days you've been having spiritually. Who have you been following? Who will you follow? And know that the invitation of the gospel is for you at this moment to choose Christ, to confess your faith that he is the Son of God, to turn your life to him in repentance and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Choose Christ. Be baptized into Christ. Leave here in Christ. If you were one who chose Christ some time ago, but the truth is you've been walking with the crowds, then return to him today. Be restored to him today. If we can pray for you, encourage you, help you with any spiritual need, we ask that you would come forward and make it known now. So together we stand and sing. Won't you come?